So community. Community is a wonderful thing that so many of us long for. Can you think of a time when you were gathered with a group of people experiencing community? A time where you felt safe, that you could be exactly who you were. A time when you could be vulnerable, where you didn't have to put up fronts or barriers, but you could just be you and didn't have to put up a facade. Can you think of a time where you experienced extreme generosity within the community, where people weren't out just for themselves, but they welcomed you in and shared with you, cared for you? I hope you can think of a time and a place where you felt that community. But my guess is that you might also be able to think of a time when you felt the exact opposite, right? Times where we stepped into a group of people and we were there and we really didn't feel all that safe. There was no way we were going to be vulnerable and actually share who we were, what we thought. And we've certainly been around people that were just focused on themselves, and then we kind of want to turn inward as well. We're humans, right? As we gather, there are times where we experience life-giving community, where all is right. And there are times where we experience community and it just seems so flawed, so much that it causes deep harm and wounds. But the truth is that you and I were created for community. We were created by a God who exists in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Our God in the Trinity exists within community. And if we are created in the image of God, we too are created to exist within community. And so today, as we look at the scriptures, we're going to be looking specifically at community. The scripture passage we read was from the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is really the story of the early church. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels that tell the story of Jesus. And then we get to Acts, and this is the story of the early church. This is what God is doing and how the church catches on fire with the Holy Spirit. And we move from a place in the book of Acts. There are about 150 early believers, 150 people that were following Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the number jumps from 150 people to 3,000. Now the Christian community has 3,000 people and they're trying to follow the Spirit of God to live into this new faith that they have found. And so we get this almost utopian version of the early church, this beautiful picture of existing within community. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. We might view that as scripture, right? And now we would call that scripture. But the apostles' teachings, to the community, to shared prayers, shared meals, and to prayers. So they've got meals they're doing. They've got prayer time. They've got study time. They're getting together. And every church should, in its healthiest forms, have all four of those components. And today I want us to look specifically at the community element. Community is important. We need it. We desire it. And so I hope you'll remember this today, that when the Christian community is safe and vulnerable and generous, we experience salvation for ourselves and for the community around us. At our best, this is who we are. When we create community, we're safe, we're vulnerable and generous. And then you and I have the opportunity to experience salvation, and more so, we've got the opportunity for the whole community to experience that. So as we look at community, my first question is our community safe? And when we talk about community, I want us to think about this church. I want us to think about our small groups or our Sunday school classes. And you might also start thinking about community that you find either in school or work. Community that you find in your neighborhood. So I think we can take all the principles that we talk about today and not just keep them confined to the church, but in every element of our lives as we seek to be in relationships with other people. But is our community safe? This is a question that unfortunately the Christian church doesn't always get right. Right? Just on the surface, if we're honest, at times the Christian community has got it wrong. And if we ignore it, then it just gets worse. But churches aren't always a physically safe place for children. They haven't always been a physically safe place for women. There's been a lot of harm and damage that has happened in the church when we just get that first part wrong. And so I think it's all of our responsibilities initially. If we are designed to live into community, it's each of our responsibilities to make sure that every single child that enters, every single woman, every single person who enters our doors feels physically safe, right? And if we can acknowledge that and say, of course we're going to do that, and be intentional about that, then we take it a step further and we say, are we safe? Are we really safe to be who we are called to be? Are we welcome and inviting to everybody? Because the reality is not everybody feels safe in church. A couple of years ago, I was doing premarital counseling for a couple. And the couple did not go to church. They had only been to church less than a handful of times in their whole life. And they decided to come visit the church a couple times. And they came one time, and about a month later, they came again, and a third, and then a fourth time. And talking to the man, I said, so what do you think about church? And he said, the first two times I stepped into the church, I felt like everybody was judging me. I felt like no matter who I was or what I was doing, wherever I was going, that everybody in the church knew that, like, I wasn't doing the right thing. And he felt just icky. And he felt condemned. And he felt like an outcast. He later told me that this was what was playing in his mind. And it took him several times of coming to church to realize that nobody was judging him, that nobody was condemning him. But that was the narrative that he had. Growing up outside the church, he saw one example of Christianity, and his experience with other Christians led him to believe that when he came to a church, he was going to be judged. He didn't feel safe initially. Jesus had a beautiful way of creating safe environments for all people. There were so many times in the scriptures that we see Jesus eating with the sinners and the outcasts, is what the gospel writers called them. The sinners and the outcasts, the people that the religious authorities kind of pushed to the side, and they said, no, they are no good. They can't share meals with us. Jesus left the religious group and went and ate with the sinners and the outcasts, the people who didn't feel welcomed. Jesus welcomed them in. He made them feel safe. And affirmed and welcomed exactly who they were. And Jesus loved them. Jesus helped create safe environments. And so I wonder if we too might be a part of creating safety for each and every person that comes in our church. That every single person that comes in hears the words that we say and knows that they can be fully who they are. That they don't have to put up a front, that they don't have to be somebody else, but each person can come in and be absolutely welcomed and affirmed. What I love about the Methodist Church is when we do community well, what we find is that we gather with people that might have differing perspectives, that might have differing backgrounds, but we gather together at a table and we say, you know what? I might not agree with everything that you say or do, but I know that we are around this table, we are in this community because we are striving to grow closer to God. And we work out our salvation together. We work in community, recognizing and honoring each and every person that enters our doors. So can we create a safe space? Not just here, but then in our workplaces, in our schools, and dare I say online. On social media, right? Can we create a safe space? And if we do that, then I think we move to a spot where we are vulnerable. My question is, can we be vulnerable? Because in the scripture passage we looked at in Acts, what we find is this community is gathered and they're sharing with everyone who has needs. And the reality is, if we're going to share with those who have needs, the people with needs had to raise their hand and say, I need some help. I don't have it all together. I need you. So can we be vulnerable and admit that we need each other? We need community. And it's hard to admit because we live in a culture right now that says pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We live in an affluent community and we look and it looks like everybody has their life together. And then we get on social media and we scroll and wow, people are pretty put together in that world as well. And so we get this impression that every single person has everything together And then we just beat ourselves up. But the good news and the bad news is that we're broken. That each and every one of us is not perfect. We need healing. We need community. And so I wonder, can we lead with vulnerability? Can you and I be people who come to church and our other places of community and say, I don't have it all together, but I believe that this in this community we might take steps forward to bring about healing and redemption and wholeness. See, it's been too often said that the most honest and vulnerable places in the church are in the back rooms during AA meetings. Right? The people that show up at AA are there. And they say, I'm broken. And I need this group of people to help me put one foot in front of the other. AA gets it right in their vulnerability. And they realize that out of their vulnerability comes the salvation. I wonder, especially if you're a leader of a Sunday school class or another group, if you might be the first person to take that step in being vulnerable. Of putting something out there that's both uncomfortable and might even challenge the other group members. And what happens when we do that? Well, there's two options, right? One option is you put something out and then everybody else kind of backs away, right? Like, oh, that's just too much. And when that happens, when we're vulnerable, but it's not a safe space, then we get shut down and we run. But if we can be vulnerable, and then somebody else can be vulnerable, and then somebody else, it starts spreading, and we create an atmosphere that is both safe and one where that practices vulnerability. And when we move to that spot, what we find is that generosity starts welling up within the community. In Acts, the passage that we're reading, it says that all the believers were united and shared everything. All the believers were united and shared everything. Does that sound a little hippie-ish to you? Anybody? So, but they would sell their pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. That community was leading with generosity. See, the Holy Spirit was working in that place and saying, out of these relationships, we are going to practice generosity in this way. And so they pooled their resources and they shared with those who had needs. In the Gospel of Luke, we see another way that when Jesus interacts with somebody, generosity wells up. We see this interaction with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and Zacchaeus wasn't very well liked. Really, not much has changed in 2,000 years with tax collectors, right? But Zacchaeus, tax collectors back then were really trying to not only take the taxes, but they would steal a little extra and pad their own pockets. So Zacchaeus was an outcast. People didn't like him. He wasn't welcomed. But he has this encounter with Jesus that's transforming. See, Jesus was a safe place for him. He could be vulnerable and start to recognize that he was broken and he needed help. And out of that comes this transformation of generosity. In Luke chapter 19, and Luke and Acts are written by the same author. So it's the gospel of Jesus, and then it moves to the story of the early church. But in Luke chapter 19, it says, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my possessions. And if I have cheated anyone, I will repay them four times as much. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this household because he too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus has this encounter with Christ and generosity wells up within him. It's his response to safety and vulnerability. And he realizes that he doesn't need to hold on to his money, but he can give it away. The early Christian church, as they had this encounter with Jesus, they were safe, they were vulnerable, and they were generous. And what we see is with the early church and with Zacchaeus and with us, it leads to salvation. In verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, it says, they praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Salvation is this complex and beautiful word that we find throughout the scriptures. Sometimes in the Bible Belt, salvation gets like watered down to be this one-time event of heaven and hell and who's in and who's out. And it's just like this one-time event. But as Methodists, we believe that salvation is about sanctification. We have this interaction with God, and then we recognize that sanctification is falling deeper in love with God, deeper in love with our neighbor. And so we're all taking steps to live into God's salvation. We all have pieces of our lives that we need to turn over to God. We all need healing. We all need redemption. And if we're honest, that is a lifelong journey of experiencing salvation. Throughout the scriptures, we see salvation to mean a number of things. It can mean to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, to be made whole, to keep safe and sound, or restore health. There's a number of ways to experience salvation. The woman in the Gospels who had been bleeding for years comes up to Jesus and she touches Jesus' cloak and she stops bleeding. She receives that healing, that salvation. The folks that were so concerned with their money are able to give it up and to cling to Christ instead. I wonder where you and I might experience salvation. If we as a community can create safe space to be vulnerable and practice generosity, it's in each of our own lives. We all need it. There's some area that feels hurt, that feels broken, where we need community to help us take steps forward to experience God's grace and God's goodness and God's healing. But the good news is that it's not just for you and me. It's for everybody. So if we create this safe space of vulnerability and generosity, I wonder when the teenage mom comes to our church who has felt such like an outcast and felt condemned in so many scenarios, when she comes in, will she find safety? Will she find a spot to be vulnerable? Will she find a generous community to help her raise her children? That's salvation. Doesn't that sound pretty healing and pretty redemptive? For the addict that comes through our doors that has struggled over and over again and has lost other relationships because of his or her addiction, could they find a safe space here to connect with other people that bring them in? Salvation. For the person that looks at the front of our church and goes, I was raised in the church. And in that church, I found condemnation. I was told about a God who was vengeful, who was hateful, and did not like me. And I wonder for those people, when they experience this community, will they find a space that is safe? One where they can be vulnerable, and one where they can experience radical generosity. If we do that, we find salvation, and so does this community. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for this community that is gathered here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to be with one another. God, we don't always get it right. Sometimes we struggle with community. Our pride gets in the way. But God, let us create a safe space for each and every person that's here and that will be here. Let us lead the way with vulnerability to recognize that we are all in desperate need of your redemption and your grace. And God, let us lead the way in generosity. Generosity financially and with our time and in every way, in every single aspect of our life. God, bring about salvation. Bring about your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.